Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is brought to you in part by Tom's Place. For the finest in men's fashion, Tom's Place will suit you. Located in Toronto at 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Or visit toms-place.com. This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Does the ink used in money have magnetic properties to it?
If I told you something on the QT, where did the expression QT come from? But then again, it wouldn't be on the QT, would it? Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy. And this week, we scoured the internet for totally useless information just for you.
Plus, we'll open up the mailbag. And of course, in the news, your favorite Florida Highway Patrol troopers. Yes, back in Florida, they arrested a man who was what? Intoxicated.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Yeah, and his name was Roy.
Yeah.
Wall Street, Bay Street, NASDAQ, Hang Seng, loonies, toonies, dollars, and yens. This is On the Money with Nick and Roy.
Hey, welcome to another episode here of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. We really appreciate it. We have lots more stuff for you today. But in the meantime, Roy, why don't you kick it off this week?
During World War II, Serbia listed bricks of tea as formal currency.
Really?
So they would make a brick of tea the size of a brick, and they would use it as formal currency because Serbia was having a problem getting food as well. And so they actually would eat the tea. They'd steep it and then eat it.
Hmm.
That's pretty gross, right?
It is. Oh, gosh. Then you'd have to spit out the tea leaves.
I guess if you're hungry, right?
Yes, exactly. The dollar sign, now we all know the symbol of dollar sign is, well, it's a symbol for money, right? The dollar. So the first dollar sign was first used in 1785. The official adoption of the dollar sign in the U.S. can be tracked to 1785 when it evolved from the Spanish symbol for pesos. It is believed that the dollar sign originated from the abbreviation PS, which was used for Spanish pesos in the Americas. So gradually the S came to be written over the P, eventually morphing into the dollar sign we know today.
Wow. See, folks, how cool was that? I was going to say a little something about what I had said about eating the tea.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of cultures, they read tea leaves. That poor person that had to read the tea leaves after you ate them.
That's right. What if you're illiterate and you can't read the tea leaves?
Yeah. Well, just think about having to go through what you had to go through to see the tea leaves.
No, thank you.
Let's see. You had some corn here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Romans used salt as formal currency. Now, remember, there was no refrigeration at the time.
No.
So salt was used to preserve meat. If you didn't have salt, you were not able to preserve meat. And that would have been a bad thing. So salt was used as currency. In fact, the Latin word sala, which becomes salary, they were paid with in sala, which was the salt salary. It then becomes what we know today as a weekly salary.
That's amazing.
Who is that?
I love that. So right. Who did this? The Romans?
The Romans. And do you know, when I was in Sicily, I had no idea that the most of the sea salt in the world comes from the region there in the Mediterranean. And Sicily is a massive producer of salt.
Wow. I wonder if that's where the expression, you're worth your weight in salt or something, or you're worth your salt.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah.
All right,
yeah, worth your weight in salt. I got another one when we get to expressions that I want to talk about too that may have been an addition to it, but go ahead.
So what is the oldest currency still in use? No, it's not Roy or me. It's not me.
Shekel?
No. The oldest currency still in use is the British pound.
Really?
The British pound dates back to 775 AD and was called the pound sterling. Mm-hmm. When Anglo-Saxon kings used silver pennies and sterlings as money. Today, this foreign currency is the fourth most traded foreign exchange in the market after the U.S. dollar, the euro, and the Japanese yen.
Cool.
Yeah.
The ink. This was my teaser, by the way. Mm-hmm. The ink used in money is so high tech that the ink itself is trackable.
Really?
Yes. And, of course, color-changing properties, they can put a chemical on it and it will change color. And they know that that's the proper ink.
Right.
But, so all of you people who are storing illegal money, please send it to nickandroy.com.
No, you don't do that. No.
We'll take care of it.
Yeah, yeah, and they'll also track
we'll demagnetize it.
Yeah, they'll track you down is what they'll do. Mm-hmm. My gosh. Wow. Okay. Don't do that. I mean, you can go to, go to nickandroy.com. Yes. Go to nickandroy.com and we'll tell you all about all the many reasons why, but don't go to nickandroy.com to leave us your money. No, you can go to nickandroy.com.
Of course, go to nickandroy.com and leave us your money.
That's right. You can buy a birthday message. Okay. Go to nickandroy.com. Click on the Tom's Place logo. And you can find out how you can save money. All about that because Tom's Place, is, as you know, is our new sponsors. We'll talk about that. But let me tell you this. So everyone has a credit card. You have a credit card. Everyone has a credit card. The first universal credit.
Oprah?
Yeah. That's right. You have debt. You get debt. The first universal credit card was introduced in 1950. Credit cards originated in the United States back in the 1920s, but were issued by individual firms like oil companies, hotel chains, to their customers, specifically for purchases made at those company outlets. But it wasn't until 1950 when, guess now, Roy, which major credit card company was the very first one in 1950?
I would say it was either Diners Club or American Express.
Diners Club, indeed. Congratulations. You win. The founders, Ralph Schneider and Frank McNamara, issued a card that would be used at a variety of establishments. So the Diners Club card sparked the modern credit card era. Others soon followed, such as American Express, as you noted, which debuted their card of this type in 1958.
Yeah, it took a while, huh? Diners Club was big. I mean, it was, people had it. You know, now I don't even think it exists. I'm not even sure if it does. How crazy is that? The first Bitcoin transaction. When do you think that occurred? The first Bitcoin transaction.
Now it's fairly modern, and if the credit card was invented or was introduced in the 50s, I would say 1985.
No. 2010.
Oh, okay.
Was the first Bitcoin transaction. It was in Florida, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And a man used 10,000 Bitcoin to purchase two pizzas and some other items from Papa John's.
Really?
Yes. The first Bitcoin transaction was through Papa John's. The bill was $41, which was equivalent to 10,000 Bitcoin, which means, what was it, 40 cents a Bitcoin?
Something like that, yeah.
If you were to take those same 10,000 Bitcoin now, you not only would be able to buy the two pizzas, you'd probably be able to buy 200 or 300 Papa John pizza places because it would be worth $230 million.
Wow. That's crazy, no small bits.
No. That's not even a bit of a coin. That's the whole coin.
That's the whole coin, exactly. Now, I'm going to give you a term here, and I want you to tell me what you think it is. If I can say it correctly.
Numismatic.
Yes, numismatic.
Numismatic is old coins, collectible coins.
Well, it's the official name for studying money facts. Mm. So know all of the money facts and impress others by having a certified money expert on your resume. You're known as a numismatic.
Yeah. I actually purchased some numismatic silver Morgan dollars.
You did? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm asthmatic. Is that the same? No, it's not. no puffer for this one.
It's similar. If you put the coin in your mouth and try to swallow it, you stop breathing.
That's right. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Yes, you go to nickandroy.com and you can send us your money by way of ordering a birthday message. Go to the Nick and Roy store. See what I did there? I worked it in there. Yes, you can legally send us money, but it's not that much money. And for a mere some shekels, just a handful of shekels, we'll provide for you a birthday message for your loved one.
Now, honestly, folks, the birthday message is the most incredible gift that you're ever going to give someone. This is the one gift that you're going to give somebody that has everything, or you say it's so hard to buy for them. They're going to call you. They're going to call all their friends. They're going to let everyone hear this. It's literally a totally useless information mini show that we put together using the date that person was born and getting all kinds of totally useless information. Go to nickandroy.com. Click on the store, nickandroy.com.
Where do expressions come from? We want to know right now.
Let me give you my teaser, because I know you're fidgeting. I'm seeing you on video. You're fidgeting. You're like, when's Nick going to give me his teaser? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nick, would you please give us your teaser?
But it's on the QT.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So when something is done in secret or on the sly... I love that expression. Mm-hmm. On the sly, man. On the sly. We're cool, man. We speak the lingo. It is said to be done on the QT. Now, the look on your face says, where did that originate? Right? Is that what you're asking? Is like the thought in your head?
I believe it's written on my forehead in Sharpie marker.
Yes. Removable Sharpie marker. Sure.
Removable forehead.
No, that's me with no hair. So what does QT mean? Well, it's simply an abbreviation of the word quiet. In the late 1800s, quiet came to mean clandestine or secretive. I'd like to have a word with you on the quiet, right? Sometime later, it was reduced to the slang QT, because it's such a chore to say the word quiet, so just shorten it to QT. So there you go. It's not a secret anymore.
Wow.
Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information. We're back with totally useless information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
I think... hands down, that's the best I've heard. You've heard it. Everybody's heard it. It's a great saying. And it's from horse racing.
Oh, okay.
When the jockey had the lead, he would lay off the reins to let the horse free. So by doing so, instead of having his hands up, he would put his hands down, letting the reins have more leash so that the horse could go faster. Hands down is a horse term. Crazy, right?
It's great. It's awesome. Okay. So we're an expression. So I know we just did money, but how about you've heard of it? Go get the money from petty cash. Petty cash is the expression. Mm. So
yeah,
why is it called petty cash? Well, the English word petty derives from the French petit, which means small or little. Yeah, throughout
that's
my childhood.
Small transaction.
Yeah, I always was used to people calling me petite.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, they were just calling you petty.
Exactly. So likewise, petty means minor or ignorant. Oh, really? Thank you. Minor or insignificant. Thank you very much. So petty.
There you go.
There you go. Exactly. See, it all comes together.
My next picture is there.
That's right. You look up the word petty, you'll see my picture. So petty.
And retractable forehead.
Listen, that space could be used for advertising. So petty cash.
Think about that. That's true.
There you go. So petty cash refers to a small sum of money set aside for trifling or little purchases, or opposed to major expenses or bills. So go get some petty cash.
Right. So the English came up with this?
It's the word petty. So it's the English word petty, but it's derived from the French, your favorite, petite.
Okay, yeah. Because I was going to say, if the English did it, it would be nice if you could actually speak the language. I'll tell you, sometimes, Nick, the cat got your tongue.
Oh, yes, of course.
The cat got your tongue. Where does that come from? It's believed that the Egyptians loved pets, but mostly cats. The big pet was not the dog. The big cat.
Who's speaking English now?
Yeah, the big pet was the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the king, if he didn't like you or you said something against Egypt or him,
yeah,
he would have your tongue cut out and throw it to his cats to eat. If you mess around, the cat gets your tongue.
Oh, ouch. I think that would hurt.
Crazy.
I think that would hurt very much. Hey, get a leg up on it, okay? The idiom, yeah. a leg up. Now, I know you have a different meaning for this, but we won't get into that because we need our lawyers present. The idiom, a leg up, means to boost or a position of advantage. When you get a leg up on your competition, you're at least temporarily ahead of them in a significant way. The phrase comes from foot racing, where getting a leg up at the start of the race gives you the edge. Getting a leg up.
Cool. See, folks, where are you going to learn this stuff?
That's why we say listen, laugh, and learn.
Get ready, Nick, and stop running amok.
Oh, okay. Well, have
running
a leg up.
Running amok.
Okay. Yeah. What does that
Another
mean?
Another crazy term, running amok.
Yeah.
Well, it comes from the African Malay word, menamuk.
Okay.
Which means desperate and furious in the African language, translated. But it first comes into use by mistake, like Kannada and Canada.
Right, okay.
It comes into use by Captain Cook, of all people, writes in one of his ship diaries or ship records. He writes down that amok, instead of menamuk, he writes that the tribesmen are running amok.
Wow. I like that. Okay. Pretty cool.
So he used their term, but got it wrong. And of course, then it becomes run amok.
And when you're running amok, you might run like a bull in a china shop. Bull in a china shop. It is widely believed that the phrase came about from real life situations. When cattle were brought to the market in London in the 17th century, the beast would stray into nearby china shops to play and played havoc with the items. The earliest
he was running amok.
He was running amok in the china shop. The earliest record,
hands down, that must have been horrifying.
It was. Well, he got a leg up, and
He needed to get a leg up,
and he used his petty cash to buy something, but he didn't tell anybody. So he did it on the QT.
I hope he bought something at Tom's.
That's right. Yes. Well, you know what? We'll talk about the bull family. Have lots of leather at Tom's place. I think they have leather.
Are you done with the bull in the china shop?
No, I'm not. Hold on. I'm running amok here, aren't I? So it was a real life situation when cattle were brought into the market in London in the 17th century. They would stray about the nearby china shops and played havoc with the items. The earliest recorded use was in Frederick Marryat's novel Jacob Faithful in 1834. So it's been going around for a long time, but he wrote it in his novel. So if you see a bull in a china shop, look out.
Yeah, I would think that would not be a good scene.
No, not at all.
You know, Nick, a lot of times you're barking up the wrong tree.
Really?
Hunters used dogs to try and flush out their prey and sometimes to capture them. Well, dogs would chase the prey. The prey would run up a tree, sometimes jumping to the tree next to it. But the dog wouldn't see that. So he would continue to bark at that one tree. The hunters would then come, notice that there was no prey in the tree, and they'd say, oh, the dog was just barking up the wrong tree.
There you go. Exactly.
How crazy are these things? I love expressions. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I think so. When we first started the show in 2019, so it's better than 4 years now. Wow. Actually, coming up on 5 years. The fifth anniversary, we have to get
I love us. Expressions, but I love sex more, so that topic is...
That's coming up. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. All about sex.
It's been a long time, you know. Well, no, since, wait a minute, hold on.
It seemed like about running amok. You look frustrated.
Since we've done this topic is what I mean. But before anybody gets into, you know, hot under the collar.
The following segment of the Totally Useless Information Podcast may be too sultry and too sexy. Some listeners.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, miss. Listen, I'm going to play this jingle again.
Oh, yeah. All about sex.
So, I'm not going to tell you exactly how we make the sausage here because we don't make sausage. We give you totally useless information. But that
although we are talking about sausage pretty much.
That's true, yes. Section, but in a roundabout
Italian
way.
Italian sausage at that.
Exactly. No. Hot Italian sausage. Okay. So, Roy and my wife and I were down in Florida to visit. My wife and I were down. Roy was already there in Florida. So, we visited him. We said, okay, we need to come up with a new topic. And we said, well, let's talk about sex. And I was like, where are you going with this? But then we realized, oh, for the show. And then we came up with that intro. We sat around.
We sat in the kitchen.
That's right. And just did that. And like, oh, yeah. Bound chicka. Wow.
Where's the best place to have sex? So we went into the kitchen.
That's right. Exactly. And boy, were the pots and pans flying. Hey.
In Nick's case, it's a small snack.
Wow. Jeez. The fat man wins. Okay.
What?
The fat man lasts longer. Fat guys last on average, over three times as long in the bedroom. There was a Turkish.
So there's hope for us.
There's what? That's right. There's hope for us. Exactly.
Why? Thank God that Tom's place goes up to size 48.
Yeah. That's right. So there was a Turkish study many years ago. They looked into the average performance times of men over the course of a year. Do not want to know how they found out. But anyway, what they did find was that fat men could keep on going for an average of 7 minutes and 18 seconds.
And I think 3 minutes and change, 4 minutes is the regular, right?
While skinny guys' partners had to put up with a mere 108 seconds.
108?
That's right.
Only like 3 minutes.
No, not even. No, it's less than 2 minutes.
What?
It's less than a minute and a half, a skinny guy. So the
Who are these men? Who are these men?
These are skinny men.
Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information.
Roy and Nick here for Tom's Place, where the month of February is all about hearts and family.
Tom's late father, William Mahalik, was born on February 20th, 1916, and Tom's dad founded the original store back in 1958, believing in the importance of caring for your customers and always working hard to give the customer the best deal.
In honor of his father, Tom is celebrating with a family day sale.
Another tradition at Tom's Place is great deals.
Ask Tom for the special deal of $149 to $199 for suits. Did you hear that? Suits, $149, $199. These are incredible suits. They're normally retailing for $599 plus Lipson and other dress shirts. Final clearance, $50. Nick, it's amazing. 149 suits that are like $600.
Or keep warm in a three-quarter length winter coat from the regular price of up to $998. Now on sale for an incredible $325. Beautiful cashmere sweaters, regularly $250, now only $75. Available in men's and women's styles and more specials in store.
It's all about family at Tom's Place. And at Tom's Place, everyone is treated like part of the family. And believe me, I know that. I actually bought a winter coat, and I'm down here in Florida. I wear it to the beach.
Yeah, he looks a little silly. But visit Tom's Place. You won't be silly. 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of the Kensington Market in Toronto. Or visit the website toms-place.com or nickandroy.com and click on the Tom's Place logo. It's the Tom's Place Family Day Sale. We'll suit you. Let them show you how.
We're back with totally useless information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Good segue. Women get erections too.
What? No, wait.
You heard me.
What? No, what did you say? How?
Women get erections. And I'm not talking about like the women like that school teacher up in Canada.
No. Explain. You brought it up now. Explain to me how women have erections. I don't believe that.
Well, I'll explain it exactly to you then, Nick. The clitoris is made from the same spongy material as the penis.
Oh, okay.
You asked.
Okay. I love how you said that. You said that like one of those like instructional videos, you know?
Yeah, that material, when excited, expands and engorges itself with blood and gets larger. Okay? So it's bigger, that it gets larger. So the woman's clitoris gets larger. And she gets a female erection. So basically, Nick, if it's bigger than yours, then you went to the wrong bar.
All right. I call this one, one hung low. Some studies.
I'll take beef and broccoli, please.
No. No, we're not talking about food. We're talking one hung low. Some studies have found that the left testicle hangs lower in right-handed men.
Hold on, we're on video, I'll check.
No, hold on. And the right testicle hangs lower in left-handed men.
Well, I'm over 60, so they both hang lower than you.
Now, the way they put it is this: handedness is linked to cerebral asymmetry. And there is some suggestion that the testicle size and position are also. Intriguingly, scientists are investigating whether cognitive performance can be predicted by the tests. No, by the testes.
By the testes.
The testes, right. So according to a Canadian study, so we have lots of time.
I bet you they had a ball doing that.
They did. Hey, after they were done, they said, let's hit the sack. So, according to a Canadian study, men with a larger right testicle performed better on spatial tasks than men with a larger left testicle. Mm-hmm. Again, on most men, the left is smaller.
Yeah, that's one of those studies where you really need to keep track and you have to have security because of the family jewels. 97% of people have sexual fantasies either a few times a week or up to a few times a day. That leaves 3% who have no fantasies. They're such freaks, I think. Or are they, Nick? No, listen. Those 3%, we're thinking of it as though it's 3% that don't have sexual fantasies. But that's not what the study says. It says 97% have sexual fantasies between twice a week or a few times a day. That leaves 3% who either have no sexual fantasies because they've done them all.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. Or they have more than 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, depends.
They just wake up in the morning going, Heidi Klum, Heidi Klum.
Well, it depends on how fat you are. Maybe it was more longer than 7 minutes and 18 seconds.
Well, that's true. Then every 10 minutes you'd be having a fantasy.
That's right. Every 10 minutes on the tens. We've all had a kiss. We've all kissed other people. People have kissed you. Mm-hmm. While kissing, couples exchange 9 milliliters of water, 0.7 milligrams of protein, 0.18 milligrams of organic compounds, 0.71 milligrams of fats, and 0.45 milligrams of sodium chloride or salt. Along with, that's not all, 10 million to 1 billion bacteria in that one innocent kiss.
Wow.
So 10 million to 1 billion bacteria, but 9 milliliters of water, 0.7 milligrams of protein, organic compounds, fats, and some sodium chloride.
All from a kiss.
All from a kiss.
I had a friend once in high school. He said to me, I'm the best kisser in the world. I said, how do you know? He says, my sister told me I am.
Oh, no.
No.
Wow.
No, that's
jeez.
Terrible.
What did the family have, like 2 teeth among them? Of their own? Come on.
Amuck them. Not tonight. I have a headache, right?
Yeah.
That's always the saying that they use when women don't want to have sex. They go, oh, I have a headache, right?
Or men, I'm sure.
Nonsense.
Men, I think, have
nonsense.
The same excuse. Yeah.
Migraine sufferers actually admit feeling more sexual during episodes. And it also, the sex tends to help them cure the migraine. So it's like a double whammy. They feel more sexual and the sex helps them.
So, okay. Go ahead.
It says the Wake Forest study, Wake Forest University.
Okay.
The PhD scientist doing the study said, I'm done with this study. All right, get away from me. I have a headache. Now get in bed.
No. So if you have a headache, take two partners and call them in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Or just lay around.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to go back to the kiss for a moment. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. we've talked about what the payload is when you kiss. The average person, because they've done this study and they said, well, in all the times you've kissed, the average person spends 20,160 minutes kissing during their lifetime. Okay?
How many?
20,160 minutes or 336 hours or 14 days or 2 weeks. Take a pick.
I did that in high school. That's right. And that was one girl I dated.
Yeah, that's right. So the
poor girl has no lips left.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. So could you imagine? So 20,160 minutes during a lifetime.
Of kissing.
Yep. Yes.
I think I beat that.
Yes.
I'm married 40 years. I think I got that beat.
That's right. Congratulations. 40 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm. A woman's clitoris is bigger than you think. Think.
Okay. Why is it echoing in there?
Man, this girl one time, she said to me, gee, you have a small organ. I said, I didn't know I was going to play a cathedral.
Wow.
Yes, the woman's clitoris is bigger than you think, Nick.
Okay,
now get ready for this one. It actually continues past the clitoris in what is called the urethral vaginal complex.
Okay.
Or what I called in high school, heaven.
Wow. You know, people...
Nick, it gets better.
Okay, it gets better.
The clitoris changes shape. When it gets aroused and excited, remember we spoke about it fills with blood?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it fills with blood and it changes shape to accept the penis more pleasurably. Otherwise, it's a little more like an elbow. Mm-hmm. And then when the woman gets excited and gets that woman erection thing going on, mm-hmm. it changes shape to accept the penis.
If you're using your elbow, you're doing it all wrong.
Well, that's a German film for another time. No offense, really, to the Germans. No, trust me, I'm half German.
Not at all. That's right. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. We're done with sex, right, aren't we? Are you done?
It's over 10 minutes, Nick.
That's right. We're done. Go to our website, nickandroy.com. Like we said, you can go to visit the Nick and Roy store. You can send us an email.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
So when I first saw this, I said, Charlie's in the mailbag.
Okay.
So Charlie is from Spokane, Washington.
All right, nice.
It says, you guys make me laugh so much. Mm-hmm. I listen on my phone through buds.
Through buds?
And then buds, earbuds.
Yes.
Yeah. So she listens through earbuds. She says, my husband actually questioned who I was on the phone with.
Wow. We're getting
because people. I was in another room with my earbuds in, and he was calling me and heard me laughing so much.
Okay.
He thought she was having an affair.
Wow.
But when I first saw this, I thought Charlie was a guy. Oh, but it's not.
It's not.
It's Charlie the girl. Who was actually having an affair with both of us
what?
Through the podcast. Boy, is my wife pissed.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
In the What's in the mail?
So when I first saw this, I said, Charlie's in the mailbag.
Okay.
So Charlie is from Spokane, Washington.
All right, nice.
And says, you guys make me laugh so much. Mm-hmm. I listen on my phone through buds.
Through buds?
And then buds, earbuds.
Yes.
Yeah. So she listens through earbuds. She says, my husband actually questioned who I was on the phone with.
Wow, we're getting
because people. I was in another room with my earbuds in, and he was calling me and heard me laughing so much.
Okay.
He thought she was having an affair.
Wow.
But when I first saw this, I thought Charlie was a guy. Oh, but it's not.
It's not.
It's Charlie the girl who was actually having an affair with both of us.
What?
Through the podcast. Boy, is my wife pissed.
She is. Wow. So I have like two here. So I hope you'll indulge me here. So Thomas from New Jersey. Right.
I have no choice.
That was a great show. So he listened to the New Year's Eve spectacle that we did. Mm-hmm. That was a great show. I listen while exercising, so I use earbuds. You said earbuds, and that's why it reminded me of this one. So I use mm-hmm. I listen to you while I exercise. Everyone in the gym always asks me if I'm okay because I keep doubling over in laughter.
That's not always good when you're on a machine.
No, it's not. But he so he can't help himself. He listens to us. We're making him laugh that much. He's doubling over in laughter, and everyone thinks he's having a heart attack. So very similar to your mailbag there, except no one suspected of him having an affair. But thank you very much, Thomas from New Jersey. Now,
and let's tell Thomas something else. On one of our shows, back 200 episodes or something, we discussed how laughing can actually build muscle tissue. Remember something like that?
They
so
say medicine.
This guy should be sending us some money to nickandroy.com for our gym fee.
No, that's right. Matt, they have scientific studies have shown, I said that so perfectly, scientific studies have shown that laughter is in fact the best medicine. But mm-hmm. that was just a quick aside. But here's the email that I got. Felicia Willows from Madison, Wisconsin writes, Dear Nick and cool. Roy, we love listening to your show every week. What we love about you guys is the chemistry between you two. It is not put on. Boy, we had you fooled. And that is why we keep listening. And the useless information, of course. Here's my question. Over the holidays, we watched many movies. One of them was Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio. Did you watch that? Did you ever see that?
I've seen that film, yes.
Apparently, it's based on a real-life person, she writes. Is this true?
It is.
We can't hear your answer. We can't wait to hear you. No, we can't hear your answer. We can't wait to hear your answer. Keep up the good work, and we love your newsletter, too. Okay, so she's obviously a subscriber. So, Felicia, believe it or not, yes, the movie is based on a real person by the name of Frank Abagnale Jr.
Frank Abagnale.
Yeah. In 1950, he published an autobiography where he describes how between the ages of 15 and 21, he forged millions of dollars worth of checks. And when he was caught, he was hired by the FBI to catch the other fraudsters. So it can't be.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie, Nick?
Oh, it's a great movie. It's really good, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, of course, I'm sure just like every other movie, they indulged a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole flying the plane thing kind of, I don't know. Maybe he got on board, but I don't think he went on as a pilot.
I don't think so.
You know, but, you know, from the way some of my flights have gone lately, he may be still flying right now. Well, we don't know that for sure.
Hey, you're flying high. Thank you for joining us today. We talked about money. We talked about expressions. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world, this is TUI News.
Florida. Highway Patrol troopers.
There we go.
Received several calls about a man driving erratically, not erratically, but erratically, possibly driving while intoxicated.
That could be anybody in Florida.
What, erratically?
That could be any vacationing Canadian in Florida.
It was on Highway US 19 in Clearwater. No, that's further north.
Ooh, okay.
It?
I was just there.
Were
just
you?
There. I literally was on US 19.
Wait a minute. They were. Let's see. I'm looking for the description. No, it wasn't you.
No. Good-looking Italian-looking guy.
No.
With a his 40s.
With a Tom's Place suit. No. So the troopers Logan and Darling located and pulled over the car near Clearwater Beach. But instead of finding a drunk driver, they discovered a man having an argument with a parrot.
Ooh.
According to the troopers, the parrot became very angry because it wanted to go home. But the man wanted to go to Clearwater Beach. The argument distracted the man, causing him to drive erratically.
Of course.
Troopers said that they de-escalated the situation and resolved the standoff successfully. But they're on the QT. They don't know. They didn't say who won the argument.
No, but what happened was probably the cop was like, license and registration. Oh, be quiet, Polly. And the bird was like, stop calling me Polly.
Give the man a ticket. Give
this
the man a ticket.
This man keeps me in a cage.
That's right. So did you imagine? They thought he was intoxicated, but no. So you were wrong. You said everyone's intoxicated in Florida. No. This guy was having an actual argument with a parrot. My gosh.
My mom, you know, she had a parrot, right? It was actually called a kai.
Okay.
And it spoke, and it was a big parrot, and it would do this dance, jumping up and down and stuff like that. So one day I put it on my finger, and I'm putting it back in the cage, and it bit me on my finger. It bit me on the knuckle of my finger.
Hurt.
And it bit me so hard that drew blood, and it was hard to get him off. But anyway, I put a Band-Aid on it, a little bit of triple antibiotic, and that was the end of it. Well, guess what? About a few weeks later, the whole finger starts swelling up. Well, their beaks shed. And so when he bit me, a piece of beak was lodged in my knuckle and got infected. And till this day, I can not completely fully close the finger. It's like a trigger finger.
Ironically
Which
enough,
stinks because when I go to the gun range, I shoot everybody next to me.
That's right. There's the parrot finger again. But if you look at it, the way you did that, I know you can't see this because you're listening to the audio podcast, but the way that he had his finger, it actually looks like a parrot's beak.
Yeah, it's like a hook.
Like a hook.
You know, I hook people with it.
That's right. Yeah. He's the hooker.
So they pull the guy over.
Yeah.
He's having an argument with a parrot.
That's right.
This in itself could constitute them to take this man out of the car because he should not, number one, be driving erratically. Number two, having a full-blown argument with a parrot that probably only has maybe two or three lines of information. Maybe that's what he was arguing about.
Exactly.
He said, shut up, and the parrot only knows... You shut up.
No, but
no, you shut up. You shut up. No, but, you shut up. You no, shut up.
But he said no. He said home. He said home. Like the parrot, because the parrot got angry. I didn't know the parrots got angry. But anyway, he wanted to go home.
Yeah, I got a GPS that does that, and I don't even have to feed it. And it doesn't bite me.
Yes, people have told us many times, bite me. Thank you for joining us. This is another episode of Total Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Thank you very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Over 72 countries now, and we are just really thrilled, tickled pink, actually, that you followed us along all of these 200-plus episodes.
A few things. Go to Tom's Place for some clothing. You'll be happy you did. Number two, go to nickandroy.com and send us all that magnetic money. Number three, please don't go sending us your parrots. We don't want them.
That's right. I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Thanks very much for listening.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy was brought to you in part by Tom's Place. For the finest in men's fashion, Tom's Place will suit you. Located in Toronto at 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Or visit toms-place.com.